Right, good evening everybody, officers and members alike. Thank you for giving up such a nice evening where you could be lawn mowing or something fun like that, canoeing. This meeting is being recorded, so please be aware of that. And on that note, please also put any phones on silent if you've got them in your pocket. We'll start, please, with minutes of the 22nd of June. Has everyone read them? Yes?
Yeah, approved.
Everyone? Are we happy to approve them?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, and I'll just sign those while we think about it. Thank you. And that takes us on, please, to agenda item number two, which is apologies. Have we any apologies? No apologies. That's good news. Have we any public questions? No. Council session? No. Calling items? No. Members item? No. And we'll move swiftly on to agenda item number seven, please, which is the final accounts for 2021-23. The Deputy Chief Executive Resources, which is Chris, would you like to come to the table and...
Chair, may I
also
approach the table, please?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Thank you very much.
As long as you don't heckle the chief executive.
Would I?
Right. Would you like to start?
Yeah. So, as we would suggest, this is our outturn position for 2022-23. Very favourable position with a net revenue budget underspend of £782,000. The interesting thing on this is it was driven through a combination of investment income over and above that which we budgeted for. We haven't expected interest rates to be so high for so long, and that's something we'll be reflecting in next year's budget. Now we have that information and surety in terms of our forecasting, but we also have the underspend on our portfolios of £307,000, so about half of it as well. We went into quite a lot of detail in this report, but it would be more helpful. So you can see the unders and overs aren't specific to any one thing. They are spread across a number of different areas. Usually you would see things like a considerable underspend on staffing, so you'd see that we aren't filling posts or something like that. But generally it's across things like supplies and services, income, equipment, staffing, all sorts of things. So that's in part why I then worked on that zero-based budget exercise which we recently concluded to try and get to the bottom of some of these, and that will be reflected in next year's budget. So we're because it's our first bite of the cherry, there'll have to be a follow-up one next year as well. But essentially, we're trying to stamp out some of these unders and overs that we're seeing in our budgets, and it has been something that's been happening historically. I don't propose to go into any of the specific lines, and if there's a question I can't answer, I'll take that back to the relevant heads of service and we'll have you come back.
Okay, this this is of course almost historical from the last administration. Have members got any questions on the report or on the paper in front of us?
Are we going to do this page by page?
If you would like to, we'll do that.
That would be
helpful. Okay, there. Was that your question as well, Angela?
No, not quite.
My question will come. Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Okay.
I see actually, Chairman, on page 6. 5.9, the first bullet point there, there is reference actually to the setting up of the disability disabled facility grants in-house, and it mentions the £40,000 of minor variations. Now, the Disabled Facilities Grant has not been mentioned anywhere else in the paper, and I wonder if I could have reassurance, please, that this in-house facility has now been set up and we are now actually spending money in favour of those people who are disabled and who are applying to us for Disabled Facility Grants, because there was a long time last year where there was no money going out of that account, and to help solve that problem we are bringing the service in-house, and I just wanted reassurance, please, if that's possible, that that has been done, and we've now started with the disbursement of the disability.
And I will just add on to that. I've got perhaps I ought to put an interest in my mother's housebound and using these type of services, and they are incredibly important to the people who can't get about. Or, and as an example,
Chair, you should be declared an interest. Excuse me.
I did just say that. Would you like to?
Yeah, I can confirm that it has been set up, and it is. Running quite successfully, particularly in comparison to what we were doing before. We are catching up, and it should be spent. We're going to see the figures when we outturn again, but yeah, it is significantly better than before.
Could I ask that that information is passed on to the committee, because it isn't very clear in this report, and I think, as I said before, it is something that's really important. Just an email to the committee so we know what's.
Yep, I can follow that up.
Are members happy with that? Okay. We're going to page 7, please. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. And we're on to the annexes now. So page 13, page 14, 15.
Chairman, if I could please on page 15, and actually on subsequent pages, I'm a little bit concerned that we seem to have quite large sums in staffing variations. And that seems to me to be a situation where we have in the past been saving money on staff salaries, and I wondered if that situation is in fact being improved upon in recent times, because I'm concerned about the stress that has been put on our staff whenever vacancies have not been filled.
Yep,
so I wondered if there could be some explanation about all of it, because it's not just on page 15, Chair, it's various others. I mean, page 6, page 18.
Yes, so if you could, obviously as we go through change, which we are at the moment, this is probably going to be something we'll see over the next 12 months at least anyway, but would you like to give a more details?
So with these, you'd expect a degree of this in any organisation where we're waiting to fill vacant posts. We have seen some teams struggling to recruit to posts. The market is very competitive across all of our disciplines at the moment. I know a number of areas are using agency staff as a short-term measure to try and support them so that we can continue to deliver and not put too much strain on staff that remain. But it is a case of us trying to recruit more successfully to these posts. So hopefully, we expect these to be just a moment in time while we are backfilling, as you say, going through our transition phase, working up our shared services structures and bringing together teams, seeing how things are. So we're probably going to see something similar again with the next outturn, but the one after that we would hope to see that starting to settle down as we come out of that stormy phase and we start to deliver services as normal.
Answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so that was page 15. Page 16?
Yes, Chair. I know that this is not new information, but I was at a meeting earlier this week where the question of the expenditure on trees came up, and I was interested in the comment their additional contribution from reserves to fund tree expenditure of £126,000, less reduced external fee income. As from a layman's point of view, £126,000 seems quite a lot. Is that the sort of money we'd expect to be spending on trees in a year?
I would have to go back to the head of service and list the specifics around the tree programme. I know that we've been doing a lot more work around trying to get our TPOs in place and making our trees safe and making them public, but I can go back for a more detailed response.
Could I think I was at a similar meeting, or maybe the same meeting. Could you possibly also give us the information with regards to a forward spend on maintenance of those trees? Because as a farmer, they don't just sit there quietly and do nothing. They do tend to grow, occasionally lose branches, and sadly, occasionally lose branches on top of people. So, or animals or property. So if you could please, that would be really appreciated. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm struggling to think what meeting it was, but you remind me that we were at it together, and it did come up as in the context that there were certain estates that were having quite a number of trees put on, and I think it might be, I would find it helpful to be put into context of what our budget for trees is to support the planning applications that are coming around in relation to the large estate developments that are taking place around Stafford and Stone.
Okay, thank you.
Is that okay?
No more comments on
it? If I remember correctly, wasn't there within the past year or 18 months because of a dreadful accident?
Yeah.
With a tree in Eccleshaw Road, then the government, but the local authority had to do a survey of all the trees on our property. And they had been neglected for years and years and years and years, and they suddenly had to do, as you said, branches fall off, and nothing had been done about that. And I would imagine that in the very recent past, they have had to do something about examining all the trees and taking very prompt action. So that would perhaps, I think, explain quite a high expenditure, where we have to suddenly spend all this money because nothing has been done for years.
Yeah. Through you, Chair, Hexham Parish Council conducted a tree survey. It was a very, very small area, and the number of trees that were identified, it still cost over £4,000 just to either make them safe or put them down in a small area. So you can imagine multiply that up by the number of areas, and it kind of adds up quickly.
I wasn't sure when I read it whether it was expenditure on planting trees or expenditure on maintaining trees. I hadn't thought. I thought it was because we have been planting a lot of trees that it was that. But if it is a mixture of planting trees or maintaining trees, I'd be interested to know what the balance is between those two.
Okay.
It is the maintenance of those trees making them safe.
Well, if we plant new trees, the expenditure goes somewhere else, you mean?
That would be contained within less, but we don't plant that many trees in comparison to the amount we spend on maintaining those that are already planted. We have quite substantial amounts of trees.
Could I ask that we have that information in a communication to all members? Thank you. And it was the Annabelle Trail that the tree dropped on.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and I think that was county as well, but perhaps I shouldn't say that. Page 17, page 18. Is this 18? Yeah.
Elaine Sports Centre. It doesn't appear to show any income.
Looks like it's only showing income at the moment, but I'll have to check. Is this, I don't know if it's been shut or what have you, but I'll look at those figures.
You would expect it to generate some income.
I'll have to have a look. I'm sure it does.
Could we go through the chair rather than have little conversations around?
I was saying, Mr. Chairman, that I believe we vacated it when we went to the Stone Leisure Centre, or vacated our use of it, and it reverted to the school. But we were committed to some maintenance work, having vacated it, and I believe that's probably why we've got expenditure with no income.
Did you want to comment as well?
My understanding is that is pretty much what's happened.
Okay, do members want any more information on this?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Page 19, please. Page 20. 21. 22, 23.
22, Mr. Chairman. How does human resource services generate income?
Question?
I assume it's doing a recharge to the internal departments.
Does Judith want to comment on that? Would you like to come to the table?
Yeah. I'm assuming it's just that internal recharge mechanism, but I'll have to check. I'm not aware so we operate a payroll and everyone else.
Chair, we certainly don't send any services to anybody else, so it's a good chunk of that is probably the income that's coming from kind of Chase Council to fund their part of the shared service.
Okay. We'll go to page 23, 24, 25, 26, 27.
Mr. Chairman, on page 27, where it says spend three phases, why is it the rephase? That's the question I'd like to ask. On two, the roof sleeve accommodation and the empty homes.
We profiled it into a subsequent year. We didn't deliver it in that time, so we just moved it into the subsequent year to deliver the programme.
Are you happy with that answer? Okay.
Chair, could I just say there seems to be a lot of rephasing of these expenditures. Well, there must be a big reason for all of these, because subsequent pages as well, you've got them on page 28 and also page 29. An awful lot of rephased expenditure.
It is just a line of the programme. If we weren't going to continue to deliver it, we would have reduced the budget. But because we rephased it, it's just a timing issue. There would be a driver for each one, whether it's a capacity issue or something changed in terms of the programme itself. So if you want, it would be a response to each one in turn, really, which we can obviously get that from the head of service as to why it was rephased.
The question really.
Can I ask again, are these all works that are then complete or haven't been started?
So you can see from these, from the spend to date from the Glover Street, it was one that we didn't start in that year. Same with the empty homes element of the rough sleeper accommodation. We delivered 84,140 and reprofiled 40% of it. And with the private sector housing assistance, again, it was a reprofile. So it would be each element of distinct work we would have completed as a work in progress and signed off, and any other elements we would have moved forward as a subsequent year, just because we did not deliver it for whatever reason in that big time frame. But with the budget being left there, we clearly still plan to deliver it.
Could I ask that where it's rephased, so take rough sleeper accommodation, budget is 840,000. Does the budget change into the next fiscal year, or is it just does that just go straight into the new balance sheet, as it were?
Yeah, we'll go straight into the subsequent year. The only reason we reduce it is because we were told the program's going to be delivering savings. We're no longer delivering the same scale or scope. If there's a significant change like that, though, a report will be presented to members because we were changing the approval that we had on delivery of the scheme.
Okay, and will that come to this committee or will it go to audit?
If there was a change,
yes,
we'd probably feed that through the full cycle. So you would probably get it. There you go, Cabinet Council as well. We're not sure it would go to audit.
Yeah, okay.
Would it be possible to put just a short explanatory note the next time we get this information of the difference between CapEx and RevEx, just so it's clear? Because I think that's perhaps caused some of the questions. So perhaps just a short explanation of the difference between that capital programme and the revenue programmes.
Yes, there was.
Okay. So we move on to page 28, 29. Page 30.
Can I ask what FHS is? If you start to FHS Public Realm and FHS ASCP?
Future High Street Fund. Future High Street Fund.
Oh, right. Thank you.
No,
that's helpful.
Future
High Street Funding. I guess the rest of you all knew that. Sorry for taking up your time by asking it. Why am I the only one to ask it?
Could I suggest, and it is just another of those, we don't know what they mean, could we have it in next time it comes forward so people actually know it is a Future High Streets Fund?
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, are you happy with that, Angela?
What was MSCP then?
My assumption, multi-storey car park would be my assumption.
What?
Multi-storey car park would be my
assumption. Thank you, that's great to know, thank you.
Okay, and finally, page 31. Okay. And item 7B.
Just going to accept, are they going to accept the report?
All right. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Does the committee accept the report? Okay, we don't need a second, do we?
It's fine, if everybody...
Chair, could I make a proposal at this point that we thank the officers for managing such a strong balance sheet, particularly when a lot of authorities around us are in absolutely dire straits, not to mention the likes of Birmingham. Whereas we sit with a very strong balance sheet, and in fact one of the major contributors to the strength of the income and expenditure report here is the additional interest income that we have on our balances, which we ought to note because it is highly unusual. It doesn't happen overnight. It's taken a decade to get to that strength. And we ought to thank the officers for maintaining it.
Okay. Does everyone agree with that? Okay. Thank you for your proposal. I hope the officers... That's taken back to all the officers, obviously, not just the heads of service, because we are a team. So thank you. And thank you for the proposal. Right, and we'll move on to 7B, please. And it's Deputy Chief Executive Resources again, please.
So these are the proposed fees and charges reports. In general, in most service areas, we've got to about 6% where we have that discretion to do this. It's under the CPI and the RPI levels of inflation that the council is experiencing in terms of budget pressures. But it was a realistic level that we thought we could pass on, taking into account the elasticity of demand. We wouldn't have that impact on those areas or people. Obviously, we need these charges to help us to support our budget position, but we're still on support with achieving full cost recovery in any of these things at the moment. That is something that we'll be looking towards next year, once we've finished the zero-based budget and we have that bit more information. So in here it details anything where we've been over 9% or a new charge, and then you detail elements
Okay. Do you want to mention it before we go through the page? We'll go through the page by page, or do you want to mention something now?
There's only three pages, I think.
Okay, carry on.
I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, that I don't see the full list of the fees and charges in this report. All I see is the changes. Where's the rest of the details, please, of the fees and charges? Normally we see the full list of fees and charges at this committee.
Well, while we're just asking that question, and I'll sort of overlay it so that you can answer it and people know what's going on. The fees and charges, I understand, go through this committee and no other committee. Is that correct?
Yep.
And if that's the case, I can see what my
learned colleague
exactly has said. Could you just explain why we haven't got a full set?
Could I just draw your attention, Chair, to paragraph 5.12? It does say a full copy of the fees and charges will be available on the members' portal before the council meeting, published on the website once approved by council. Now, it may well be that that may need amending, just so that, you know, we all have the opportunity at scrutiny committee to have a look at those fees and charges.
I think, as chair of scrutiny, which obviously I am, I would actually insist upon it, because we are if this is the only scrutiny committee that scrutinises, we should have all the information at our fingertips, even if it is replicated just as a 6%. I don't know how you're going to take that away now, because whether Ian can suggest anything on that. Would you like to come to the table, Ian?
Just to clarify that the procurement regs delegates any changes in fees and charges to officers, so it's not something that goes to has to go through council and cabinet unless it is a new fee or charge or one that exceeds I think is the inflation rate. So that's why that's the information before you today. It's the ones that officers haven't got delegated authority to introduce. So it's any new charge or anything that's over the inflation rate, because otherwise you'd have a whole ream of all our standard fees and charges. Officers have the power to just either keep them or retain them in line with inflation. Other than that, that's what comes before members.
I'm just going to bring Angela in first, and then I'll come back to you, Angela.
Thanks, Jim. I was just going to say, is it not the case that these are already on the members' portal then? All the fees and charges?
No, it'll be before the council meeting.
But are they not already there? Surely we have a means of accessing all of our fees and charges just now on our website, either via the members' page or some other page. Can't we go into the members' page just now and get all the fees and charges? We must, because we were all agreed last year, weren't we?
This is the next year we're agreeing
now. I know it's, thank you. I know we're talking about next year, but I'm sure that last year we did the exact same thing. And I'm saying I would have thought that if I wanted to know the fees and charges just now, for example, for our burial fees, surely I can go into our web page and get them on there, can't I?
I just wondered, Chairman, maybe that the fees and the charges would be seen as confidential until they're approved by council.
But they're not changing last year's. Last year's will be as they are now.
If I may, Chair. If there are fees and charges that can be changed at officer discretion, I get the feeling that that's what the councillor is asking, because they aren't our current fees and charges, they are proposed within a tolerance increase for the next fiscal year, and therefore they wouldn't be publicly available on the website. We would have to see them, surely, because if it was within that tolerance of inflation, those charges will be different from the current year's charges. So I think perhaps it's what we're seeing that doesn't require our scrutiny, but could we see the full list? Is that what you were suggesting, Councillor?
Yeah, I think we need to see the full list, because there have been occasions in the past where we've looked at the fees, and we said this is ridiculous. You can't do that. You know, the, for whatever reason, you know, it's just not right. Take it down. Or some others was it's too lenient. Take it up. But unless we've got the full list in front of us, we can't see, you know, whether there's a case for turning around and saying, look, this is we need to do something about this.
Councillor McEwen.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps through corporate services, we could ask for a link to that list where it's confidential, so we have to use our confidential signing. Is that possible?
And then, Councillor.
Going through, Chair, but I seem to remember when Councillor Lockram was chairing this meeting. We were presented with a full list of the individual charges, so we could actually debate individual ones right through the list.
I think you're confusing
Councillor Lockram with me, possibly. Yeah, I may be. I may be very similar.
You look so alike.
I look like Councillor Lockram very much.
I've never chaired this meeting. In all my 20-odd years,
I've never
ever chaired this meeting. Your memory's failing,
sorry. Members, can we sort of... Head of Law.
Thank you, Chair. So, obviously, these are the fees and charge changes proposed by Cabinet. So there's an initial report that went to Cabinet on the 2nd of November. So what we could do is, when that report is issued, we could put a link to the full fees and charges to members then. Mm-hmm. That would seem the most appropriate way to do it.
And then it'll be scrutinised at Council, presumably?
Well, the whole fees and charges goes to Council, but the decision on any fees and charge changes under inflation
It will all go to council, and that will give all councillors an opportunity to.
Well, if you've got the link that goes to cabinet, and you've got any particular ones you want to raise at this committee when the fees and charges come to scrutiny here, I think this is the place to scrutinise it rather than council.
Yeah. So we're still no further forwards because we're at that point now. But we can't scrutinise the whole list because it's not really in front of us.
Yeah, it's not been the way we've approached it before, so that's the way you want us to do it in the future.
Yeah, I think, and I've been at resources meetings before now where it has been done that way, where admittedly it's a big ream of lists, but if it's electronic it shouldn't really matter, and people can go through them on a Sunday afternoon with the wife if they want to. But as I say, it is I think something that we haven't quite got the full deck of cards in front of us.
Yeah. I mean, the finance regs were changed not that long ago, so before then you will have had that, but it was changed to the current system not so long ago.
Do members want to see this in the future, the full list?
If I understand this right, what we've got here, which has been 5.11. Is the exceptions and the rest is by formula as indicated, and I'm not sure I want to go because it is a big list, as you say.
Yeah.
That I would, that it's easier to go through a list of this nature on an exception basis rather than plough through many pages.
Yeah, however, I can also see the other contrary view that. Occasionally, something historical gets put into the fees and charges, and as councillors, we could, and I know that you as previous chairman have brought things up, just small things that sometimes can affect a lot of people. So,
Chair, can you give an example?
No, not off the top of my head.
I can't remember anything. I'm chair of resource committee in the park, and I've heard councillors go on interminably about changes. Probably.
Chair, you could be looking at something like a 50-page document.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't want to play through a 50-page document.
No. Let's just nail this down. So, how many people are in favour of seeing all of those? members, how many people are in favour of seeing all of those fees and charges as suggested? That's two. How many people are happy with the status quo? Okay, so we'll leave it as we are. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it up. Okay. We will just go through the three pages. Page 32.
Oh, sorry, Chairman. I was on 34, sorry.
Page 33 and page 34.
34
or
33? 33, sorry.
Okay.
5.2 identifies that we have an initial budget gap. I'm just interested in some feedback from you, Chris, in terms of how effective you found that zero-based budgeting activity in terms of determining that gap very accurately, because it feels like we've got quite a good picture of that at this point. So how that's gone.
It was quite a successful exercise on the whole. We have had a number of historic areas where we were able to reduce the base budget position. We'll be working with members of the Cabinet now to reinvest some of those funds, so I won't be looking to shrink our overall costing on the councils. It'll be more of a reallocation of those funds to make it a bit more user-friendly and to align with our priorities. So you'll see some changes, things, potentially climate change, things like that, that they want to, members want to add additional resources into. In terms of the gap, looking forward, Stafford, as you said before, is in quite a robust position. This continue to reinforce that information. It started very small with these other areas and the outer position and zero-based budget exercise. I would anticipate we'll continue to be in that robust position. Occasionally we will have the issue that you see the gap opening up in years 2 and 3 because we're still only getting 1 year settlements, and that's going to be a massive exercise for ourselves, officers and members, to make sure the public understand we're not allowed to put in that grant that we know will come from central government because auditors would say it's not prudent, but because I can't put it in, I have a gap, and I'm not going to propose that we deliver a savings programme that we cut for our services when we know that we will receive central government funding. It's just it comes too late in December for me to budget for it. So I just think that's an important point to put out there. When you see the MTFS, I'm not going to try and close those future years gaps. I think it would be inappropriate. If anyone else had a very strong view to the contrary, I'd be intrigued to see what they would like to cut when we know we're going to get grant in December.
I think that's really useful.
Okay.
Chair, could I ask what we're going to be likely to be budgeting for the contribution from interest from capital with other funders?
So, in terms of the investment income,
yeah.
In all honesty, I'd probably be looking around £1 million. Don't hold me to it, because I've completed the budget exercise. That'll be 4 weeks. I expect to be around £1 million-ish.
Chair, could I just ask for comparison? What was it in the last financial year?
About 600, just over 600, 700,000. Yeah.
Because, of course, Chair, interest rates have gone up quite significantly. I mean, was it a year ago, I think interest rates were about 0.5%?
A bit longer than that, I think.
A year or two. But now, what? 5%, 5.5%? 6.2.
Yeah.
So it's gone up hugely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, our investors should be doing jolly well.
And now, we started to spend down some of our big schemes as well, so we do have that offset. So if you were thinking it'd be higher because of our current capital balances, I do forecast that we'll be spending those down, including some of those reprofile schemes. So you see that give and take in my budget. But I'll make it very clear in the MGFS report, the assumption I've built in.
Okay. Are we happy with that?
Well,
yes.
I think we also need to be aware, and I think it's like to highlight this, in paragraph 3, for example, dialogue with paragraph 2. There are still risks. There are still major risks we're facing. One of the biggest is not knowing what on earth the government is going to, what the settlement's going to be. I mean, we've still got to wait for the autumn statement, which is coming out hopefully fairly soon, the Chancellor. But then, as Chris said, we don't normally get information from the government about the settlement until just before Christmas, which is a stupid time to do it, really, because you've got these Christmas holidays messing it all up. So it's a mad scramble after that to try and get things sorted out and get the budget process sorted out, ready to get council tax payments and whatnot out of it. It's a hell of a way to do business. And even then, it's a one-year settlement. It's always been a one-year settlement. And then we're supposed to be looking at the medium term.
you know, we need at least a four-year settlement. It would be nice. But we never get that. That's just a will-o'-the-wisp.
I look forward to you coming to us and saying, whichever government we're with, that they're going to give you a four-year settlement.
Well, perhaps we'll get the opportunity to see that, Chair, in the future.
It will be interesting.
Your fault if you don't get one.
Okay, so we're now on to page 34.
A point of clarification, really, on bullet point 5.8, item 2. Is that A500, the ring road in Stoke? And I don't understand what it means.
This is one that comes up every year, so would you like to clarify?
I'll let you speak to if it comes up every year, but I assume it's the Trenton area.
Yeah, it's
well,
just this.
Trenton's end of the
line. Yes, there is.
There must be a place up there on the A500, the St Stafford Borough. That is available for a street trader.
Were
you interested, Gareth?
not if it's a dual
carriageway. Would the cabinet member like to sort of?
Well, my understanding is that there has been for some years now, a van affair, you know, which can sell fast food or whatever,
yeah,
ultra processed food or whatever it is, and people buy it in large quantities.
I think historically there was also one in the centre of Stafford, but that seems to have the licences lapped on that one. Thank goodness, because all there was a big fatty stain on the new slabs.
Yeah, I think what we're looking at on the A500 there is near junction 15.
I think it's on the roundabout, isn't it?
Near the Holiday Inn.
Is that in Stafford Borough?
Yes. Yeah, there's a little sort of finger of
Stafford.
Amazing.
Oh, I know that.
Well, that's
about it,
probably. That
way
back is very good. Sound you happy?
Thank you for the clarification.
It's always amazing when we go to Newcastle to see our grandchildren. You go up the street, and when it's bin day up there, you go up. These sort of bins out for Stafford Borough, and then it ends. They have no logical part at all. Then the bins stop, and it becomes Newcastle on the line. Yeah. And it's absolutely illogical.
I think when boundaries were set, they were always set with a view to which senior officers were living where. So that's just, I'm sure it's just an urban myth, and it didn't really work like that. But. Okay. Thank you for that, and we'll now move on to item 7C. This is Juiced, I think, isn't it?
They approved the pet there.
Sorry?
Are they approving the
pet? Oh, again, I've had my fingers wrapped. Thank you for that. Do we approve the report for 7B?
Yep.
Yep, okay, thank you. Good job you're here. Right, 7C, Judith, do you want to?
Thank you, Chair. So this document sets out the progress against the Council's priority to be a well-run and financially sustainable and ambitious organisation. So there are three core project areas in this one. One of those is on target, and there has been some slippage on the other two areas. So if we're moving over to the page, I mean, you've just heard quite a bit from the Deputy Chief Exec around the work that you're doing on the budget setting process, so hence the tick on that one, that one's on schedule. The ones where we've had some slippage. The first one's kind of the area where we're looking at our future ways of working, both as kind of officers and members. And there are three discrete actions in there. The first one, the pilot, the way we work is it's the name we've given to our hybrid working protocol. So we've been trialling that, we've done a survey, and we're just bringing all the results of that together to bring to leadership team. We are a little bit behind schedule, but that work is ongoing. So I'm hoping by the time we get to the next quarter that will have changed and we'll have completed all of that. The one following it in terms of the development of the workforce plan, we're actually looking to defer that now to 24-25. There's some other work that we need to do before we can do that, and that's largely around establishing the culture of the organisation, kind of what do we want to be. That will then very much inform the workforce strategy. So we're hoping to do that at the tail end of this year and then pick that piece of work up in the next financial year. And in the report that's going to Cabinet, we are formally seeking Cabinet's approval to defer that by 151 months. The last one on this part is around our digital strategy. That one has been drafted, but we're having another look at that alongside the zero-based budgeting exercise. But it's kind of how we're scheduling some of the pieces of work into that one. Just over the page, there's a reference to our new customer portal system. We were due to have gone live on that, but actually we put that back slightly, and it will now go live on the 29th of November. And I haven't put that date out of thin air. That's because that's the day that the chargeable garden waste fees we go live with collecting that, and that's what we're majoring the system to go live on. It's on a more complicated end, so we're tackling that one first. And then the other action where we've slipped a little bit is around shared services and the transformation on that. So the positives are that we've completed obviously the leadership team, and we're now looking at the management tier, so we're working our way down to that level, and we're hoping to start the consultation on that early in to the new year. And we've completed the draft of the transformation strategy, and we're aiming to take that to the shared service before the end of this quarter. So I say there is work ongoing, it's just a little bit behind where we've anticipated that we would be at this stage.
Okay, thank you. Questions, again, page 37, page 38, and page 39.
Chairman, could I just ask, please, for clarification about who is all involved in this shared services board?
There are two boards. The only one that's met so far is the strategic one, which is both the leaders and the deputy leaders of both councils. There's then an operational one which we haven't got up and running yet because we've not got into the detail yet, and that will have a wider pool of members on it. It includes members of the opposition on that one as well.
So the leaders, have the leaders had the meeting then?
Yes, we've had an initial meeting just to bring them up to speed with where we've got to, and I'm saying the next meeting will be a progress update, and particularly it'll be around transformation programmes.
So, Chairman, there's going to be two shared boards, is that what you said? There's going to be the leaders one, and then there's going to be another board that involves members?
Yes. Well, not all members. I've got the exact terms of reference in my head. They were set out in the shared services business case, and the idea was that you'd have a strategic one that deals with any high-level issues between the two councils. If we're perhaps slightly advanced, the operational board is going to have responsibility for overseeing the implementation plan, so the transformation work over the next 2 to 3 years. That board will have oversight of that work. It doesn't mean to say that the scrutiny committees won't have sight of certain things, but yours is more making sure that operational service delivery isn't adversely affected by sharing services. But I think the delivery of it will sit with the operational board.
Okay.
We do need to get more information for that. That's the plan of our business. That's what we need.
I think.
Are you interested in that?
I think all of that information has been passed forwards to members, and it's an ongoing process.
It was set out in the business case that was considered at council in December last year. If members want, I can take that extract out of business case and circulate it separately.
It won't be a lot to circulate it. I should just circulate the timetable and the committee. The information that was there before, please.
We don't have the timetable yet, Chair, but
if it's last December, then there are members here. We had on the council last December, so if you all know that this is a talk
Okay, thank you. And the final one from me as chair, could I just thank you for the clarity in the little symbols now, rather than 47 smiley faces that are just looking glum all the time.
Ask if they accept the report.
Yeah, and does the committee accept the report?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And we'll move on, please, to item agenda 7D, which is quite a weighty report. I'm sure you're not going to go through all of it, are you?
No, I don't think we need to do that.
Okay, would you like to give your report then?
The only reason the whole scheme of delegations attached is for your information, really, because the actual delegations haven't been changed. What has been changed is the name of the head of service to which they've been delegated, and that's because we've had a senior management restructure that council agreed to in April. So some have had the job titles changed, so that needs changing in the constitution, and some areas of work have been transferred from one head of service to another. So it's just reflecting our current delegations under the correct head of service. But I need Tim, the chief exec, is able to do that on an interim basis, which he did from April. But to get it formally into the constitution for transparency purposes, I need this committee to recommend that to council. So that's the bulk of the report before you today. We don't need to go through it detail because nothing's changed. The only addition is we do have two new deputy chief executives in the structure, and there's some new delegations so that they can act in chief executive's absence and also do any functions that the heads of service can do. So that's the only additional one that I'm proposing immediately. And the rest of the report is just saying, for any other changes to the constitution, we'll do the normal annual process. We'll ask members and officers if they've noticed anything within the wider constitution that they'd like to be updated. And we'll do task and finish meetings to discuss them and make any recommendations to council. So it's for members to have a look at the dates and discuss if that's the way you want to approach it again.
Okay, so we'll start with the "Are members happy to agree the update to the constitution?"
I think there's on the bottom of page 41 there's the dates.
Yeah, we're going to go onto that next. So
this needs to be corrected, that's all.
We need to, as this meeting, we need to agree the recommendations, don't we?
Yeah, you need to recommend them to council.
Yeah. So are we happy doing that?
Yeah.
No one against that? Okay, great. And then we'll move on to your point, which is
a very minor point.
Quite correct. Would you just like to mention a couple of words, a little bit about the task and finish?
So
for the newer members, obviously.
Yeah, sure, thanks, Joe. We normally circulate a request to all members and officers probably later this year, just to say if there's any changes that you think are required to the constitution, could you let us know? Those requests are then put into a report that comes before the task and finish group for us to discuss what the impact and implications of those changes would be. And any recommendations for task and finish are then reported to the Resources Scrutiny Committee and a formal committee, and you decide what to recommend to council then. So we put three in the diary, depends on how many proposals are put forward as to whether you need all three, but we put three in the diary usually.
Okay.
Well, the three you suggested, the 2023 needs to be changed to 2024, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
You must think I'm a terrible nitpicker.
Sure. Are we set on the start times of those meetings? Some of us who work full time find it very hard to get to those sort of times.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to say that 5:30 is a bit early for some. Of us.
Yeah.
Some of us have got daytime jobs.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the first. I presume it's for Democratic Services to have a look at that on the dates, is it?
I can suggest.
Be instead of 1730, would prefer it to be 1800 to give us a chance to get in.
We could accommodate that. I would only say that the one on the 13th March is before a formal committee that starts at 6:30, so we'd usually want that to be kept earlier.
See, perhaps the Resources Committee could start half an hour later to accommodate. It should be precluding people who are working full time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. So I would propose that in actual fact on that date, then resources scrutiny starts a half hour later.
Well, they're on different dates, I think, aren't they? Then?
Well, it depends on the number of proposals. It might be a very short meeting, so we can cross that bridge. We can accommodate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think we should consider having resources that are
so, bearing in mind that the officers are going to go away and look at the date, the earliest being the latest being 6 o'clock, are we happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And
but we are tonight agreeing we're not going back onto this part of the constitution that you've presented to us tonight. That's now accepted, is it?
If you can recommend those changes to council, it will go to council.
Yeah, so we don't need to be dealing with that again, do we? If we deal with it tonight.
No, I think the only way I understand we will have these meetings is if fresh.
There are other proposals that are
yeah.
for changes to the constitution.
That's right.
Okay.
If I may ask, Chair, by what date would you like those changes to be with you if there are proposed changes from members?
Well, before the first meeting, so I assume we will be sending the email out probably this month, but I'll check with the officers.
Okay. And we'll move on to the final item 7E. And again, Head of Law and Governance, the work programme.
Chairman, as usual, that's your work programme, so you can see the items that are on there already. It's for this committee to discuss. Are you happy with the current work programme? Is there anything else you want to discuss?
This does tend to be an iterative process that builds as time goes forwards and we look at budgets and such like. Do members want anything changing at this point?
Well, Jim, could I ask, if you actually thought of something you wanted to go on the agenda, could you suggest it, and if so, to whom? Would it be to you, or to the chair, or to Ian?
You can suggest it here. If it's something you're unsure of, please do feel free to speak to the relevant head of service outside the committee. See whether it's feasible, but yes, the work programme agenda item is the place to discuss it.
I think the one thing that the chief executive and officers are asking is that rather than each item going through every single scrutiny committee, that that there's sort of a defined route for different items. And I think the budget, which is why I asked the questions earlier, is one of those things that should only come through one committee at a time and then through council, because it takes an awful lot of officer time if every committee wants to talk about everybody else's agenda.
Could we put section 106 on a specific meeting, either January or March?
Sure we could.
Any particular?
Chairman. I think we looked at that last year. You've got to be careful about what your terms of reference are, because the 106 process itself falls within the remit of the Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny Committee, so that aspect will go to that committee. So you've just got to be clear about what resource aspect is it you think you need to look at further.
This is just straight away brings forward what I just said, that there's things that go through certain committees.
I'm thinking of it in terms of how the money that's held within in section 106 is
still lying there doing
and
nothing
and no
being used.
Make sure that there's progress through 106. I would have thought that's to do with resources.
Well, so we had the exercise last year and it was important.
But it was a very useful exercise, but it's fluid as far as it's continuing annual change.
So, Chair, can I ask, is there a report you want on 106?
On the progress that's been made on 106 since we looked at it, which isn't that long ago, but the reason I'm raising it was that when we looked at it last time, there was quite a significant amount of money locked into it.
Chair, I would support a report coming to us on the current situation regarding 106.
Should it not go through the property committee rather than the resources?
Well, you're asking this comes to resources because
I'm interested from the resource point of view. You know, there's money locked up there.
And it is a resource.
Chris, would you like to come forwards and just have a mention what your view is on this, please?
Through you, Chair. I'm aware that they're currently undertaking a review of Section 106. Officers are looking into processes and making sure we get the best value out of it. It may be more appropriate that they report back on their findings and the work that they've done rather than try to jump in ahead of that work.
So where, in your opinion, should that be reported back to, scrutiny-wise?
I would bring in resources myself.
There you go. That's answered the question.
That's the right answer.
Okay, so can we have that on the work programme, please? I don't think we're stepping on toes with that because, as has been mentioned, it is a resource issue. Okay.
Can I just ask if there is a specific time that's better from the January or the March, which one it should go on to?
I'll have to check with Greg. It's more likely to be the March that he's completed it, apart from my budget setting.
Brendan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back in September 2021, at the meeting of the Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny, I raised the issue about Section 106 and the lack of information for members in general to understand what was happening in the process. And we were promised a member briefing on how the Section 106 is operating, in particular those Section 106 bids for money under £50,000 and how they could be fast-tracked. It's about as fast-tracked as HS2 at the moment. It's not going very fast at all. And I just wondered why we can't get that member briefing up and running, irrespective of which committee. It seems to me it's a briefing that would benefit all members.
Well, I think we've had a commitment from the Deputy Chief of Chris, to take this to the March meeting, and we can add that. If there is an item that you wish to take put onto that,
I'd like to bring forward that was agreed 2 years ago in September 2021. Yeah. That member briefing on Section 106.
Yeah.
Outside of any committee.
Chair, the problem is in the January meeting, we really, really do need to focus on budgetary issues. Because we've got to make sure we get everything sorted out in that budget.
I suggested March.
March. Okay, well, we won't discuss that to the death. So you've got that on the work programme. Are there any other burning issues which members feel should go onto the work programme? Okay. So, is the committee in favour of everything we just discussed?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the end of the meeting. Just over an hour. So thank you all very much for coming and contributing, and thank you to the officers for their time as well. Thank you.
Thank you.